Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Build hydrogen storage or risk blackouts. That's the stark warning from the award-winning Emeritus Professor of Physics at Oxford University, Chris Llewellyn-Smith. And in the past few hours, Chris has addressed the Hydrogen Ireland Conference, which is taking place in Belfast today. And Professor Llewellyn-Smith joins me now. You're very welcome to the programme. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, will you firstly outline the role that you see hydrogen playing in our energy future? Because it is one that is not without controversy.
Well, hydrogen will play several roles. It will play a role in providing high temperature industrial heat, in making cement and so on. It will play a role in making steel. The role that I'm most interested in and have been working on is using it in conjunction with high levels of wind power and solar power to store the excess, because there are times when the wind doesn't blow, the sun doesn't shine, so you need something else. And the best thing to do is use the wind and solar you're producing anyway and store it and put it back in the system later.
But that storage problem is not an easy one to solve, is it?
It's pretty easy technically. Getting people to understand it is different. I mean, there are two ways that it's sensible to store it. One is to store it in salt caverns, which are made by pumping down water underground into salt deposits, and they flush out the salt as brine. These are about a mile deep, so there's no immediate danger from the hydrogen. And there's a capacity for doing that near Larne in Northern Ireland. But there are other things. There's a company that's looking at using a depleted gas field off Kinsale Heads, about 50 kilometres south of Cork. That's a possibility. And then there are alternatives if you don't want to use hydrogen.
Mm-hmm. Safety is one concern, which you touched on, but also the environmental impact of these caves. Like, digging an industrial storage unit a mile underground doesn't sound very climate aware.
Well, first of all, on the safety, people sort of think of hydrogen as being explosive and so on, but it's actually very difficult to ignite hydrogen. You can do it, and obviously, therefore, you treat hydrogen with great caution, but there are very stringent rules for the safe operation of hydrogen in place for, you know, a century or more in Ireland and in Great Britain. So I don't think there's any concern there, and it is deep underground. As far as the environmental impact is concerned, the footprint on the ground is relatively small, actually, of these things, so it's not a big issue. There's an issue of getting rid of the brine when you take it out, but that looks to be soluble.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about green hydrogen here, and I know you said earlier this is produced using wind and solar power, but 90% of hydrogen today is produced using coal and gas, and that generates a very high carbon footprint. Do you share the concerns which have been expressed by environmental campaigners that fossil fuel companies now are taking up hydrogen's uses, extolling its virtues, in order to divert taxpayer money from green schemes into infrastructure that keeps them in business?
Yes, I do. I am concerned about that. They say, oh, that's all right, we'll capture the carbon. They like to use the phrase CCUS, where U stands for usage. But anybody who says that should be asked, what is the use you have in mind? Because that sounds great if you can use it. And if they can't answer, they should be shot. And they won't be able to answer it because there aren't many uses for carbon. So the first problem is that carbon capture is not perfect. You know, maybe 5% or even 10% will be leaked. But secondly, if you're going to make gas from, you're going to make hydrogen from natural gas, that's what this blue hydrogen is, you need to use methane, natural gas. Methane leaks, and methane is a very potent greenhouse gas. And in my mind, as far as climate impact is concerned, the effect of the leaked methane is likely to be bigger than that of the leaked carbon dioxide. So there's a double concern there. Mm-hmm. We might want to use a little bit of blue hydrogen, but I don't think it should be a big player.
Okay, the Professor Robert Howeth, who's Professor of Ecology and Environmental Biology at Cornell University, I'm sure you're more than likely familiar with his work, but he says there may be some small role in truly green hydrogen in a decarbonised future, but this is largely a marketing creation by the oil and gas industry that has been hugely overhyped. What do you make of that?
Sorry, did you say green hydrogen?
Yes, green hydrogen.
Well, I don't think the oil and gas industry is terribly interested in green hydrogen, and I think he's wrong. I mean, one of the problems, the real big need for hydrogen storage is going to be to buffer very high levels of wind and solar. And the people who've studied the need for that have got it wrong, because the fact is, if you look at Great Britain, and this will be true in Northern Ireland too, the wind varies tremendously. We studied 37 years of wind variation, and that's not enough, so we added contingency. In those 37 years, there are 3 years when there was very, very little wind. And the people who study single years, and that's been done in Great Britain by the people who advise the government, unfortunately, have looked at individual years, and it's been done in the United States by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, for example. If you look at a single year and you don't allow storage to import energy from other years, you grossly underestimate the need for storage, and because you've got to meet demand, you have to have something else. Mm-hmm. So people who make those studies see a huge need for gas with CCS or burning blue hydrogen, which is a monstrous idea in my opinion, and they've underestimated the need for green hydrogen. There's no doubt in my mind that serious observers, and this is true worldwide, who've looked at buffering high levels of wind and solar, decide you're going to need a lot of green hydrogen.
And what about its potential as a fuel for vehicles? Is that in the offing?
It was a few years ago, but the fact is the batteries have run out, and I don't see a big role, possibly empowering very large, heavy vehicles, but starting, Elon Musk, for example, is starting to market trucks that are driven by batteries, so it could play a role there. It's conceivable it could play a role in aviation and possibly empowering trains, so I think it's maybe more likely that ammonia will be used. Well, so I don't see a big role in transport.
Well, if it could solve at least part of the problem in aviation and other heavy transport, it would be doing a great job of work for us, because that seems to be an intractable problem at the moment.
Heavy transport I don't think is an intractable problem. Certainly you can. There are batteries will be available there, and even there are countries like Germany that are talking about putting sort of like the old tram lines, wires above the road or under the road that trucks can pick up electricity as they go down the motorway. But as far as aviation is concerned, the first thing is we've all got to learn to use the internet more and work remotely and travel less. It's very difficult to fix long-distance travel. Short distance can be done with batteries, maybe. Long distance, in principle, it can be done with biofuels. But in order to meet the UK's need for biofuels, you'd have to turn over half of agricultural land to making biofuels for aviation. So that's not going to happen. So they will play a role. There will be more efficient engines, and there may be some ammonia, maybe some hydrogen.
Chris, thank you very much for speaking to us. That is Emeritus Professor of Physics at Oxford University, Chris Llewellyn-Smith. Now, coming up next, looking after your ear health, GP Dr. Maura Finn will answer your questions.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.